The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A vital part of preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now.
At this point, you have to wonder if his speechwriters are just tucking in the most ludicrous statements possible to see if he'll read it. This is now part of hurricane preparedness. Make sure that you get your vaccine, your booster. An instant classic there yesterday from the fake president. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, however, you've got to go to our website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live stream page. We broadcast this show every weekday morning here in the central time zone of the United States at 11 a.m. So it's noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the Left Coast, where I was just the other day. California, the land of the fruits and the nuts. It's got a little bit of, in all seriousness, it's got a little bit of everything just flying over the northern half of California before landing in Fresno. You really and truly do see, as Mr. Armstrong covers in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, just how much, how richly blessed this land is. And, of course, a lot of curses, as I said yesterday, are setting in. Lots of drought and fires, even here in Oklahoma. We'll talk about that here in just a moment when we get a bit more serious about this hurricane barreling down on the Tampa region, the Gulf Coast side of Florida. But just going back to this statement by Joe Biden, how crazy and outlandish is it to use that? 2 seconds ago, he told us the pandemic was over. That was last week. Last week, he says the pandemic is over. This week, he says that the way to prepare for a hurricane is to get the vaccine. Sam put together this montage for us. Don't say that we've never produced any fake news on the Trumpet Daily. Here you go, clip 5.
Let me be clear. If you're in a state where hurricanes often strike, like Florida or the Gulf Coast or into Texas, a vital part of preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now. Everything is more complicated if you're not vaccinated and a hurricane or a natural disaster hits.
And this is what I-4 near Branch Forbes Road looked like earlier tonight. Locked up. All of those red lights you can see are people heeding the warning of emergency officials
to get vaccinated now.
Those who are eligible for the first round of shots waiting up to 8 hours in first-come, first-served lines. Today, a miles-long traffic jam for people waiting for a vaccine.
Florida's highways are jammed with traffic as thousands scramble
to get vaccinated.
I made the joke yesterday, and then Sam took it and ran with it, as if all of these people fleeing from their homes are going to drive straight to Walgreens to get their vaccine shot. It's just the most outlandish. Using a crisis, a curse, in fact, a curse to carry out their false narratives. No matter the event, they're never going to let a crisis go to waste. Here's this, I think it's moving toward a Category 5 hurricane. I believe it's supposed to hit land this evening or first thing tomorrow morning. We'll keep our eyes on it. But speaking of using a crisis to further their agenda, listen to this exchange between Don Lemon. He just got shot down by the British historian last week. Here he is going back and forth now with a meteorologist. This is clip 2.
The second eye wall has overtaken the original eye wall, and that should arrest development.
I'm just trying to get that. You said you want to talk about climate change, but what effect does climate change have on this phenomenon that is happening now? Because it seems these storms are intensifying. That's the question here.
I don't think you can link climate change to any one event. Okay. on the whole, on the cumulative, climate change may be making storms worse, but to link it to any one event, I would caution against that.
Okay, well, listen, I grew up there, and these storms are intensifying.
Oh, you grew up there. Well, that changes everything. Why does he even have the so-called experts on his program if he knows more than all of them? Just give your monologue. Tell the audience you grew up in Florida and that you know climate change is the cause. There was a storm that hit eastern Canada just last week. And Justin Trudeau, they all know. They are, it's like 2 Thessalonians 2, the same spirit. They're God. They know more than everyone. They know more than God. Certainly they're not going to attribute any of these kinds of curses to God. If you think about the holy day that we just observed, the Feast of Trumpets, there's a lot that we have to try to pack into the two services of that day because there's just so much in the Bible revolving around the return of Christ and what leads up to it. But all of the punishment that God unleashes on hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious nations and a hurricane, that's just like 0.0001% of God's power. And we can't, we're the richest, most prosperous, most powerful single nation in the history of mankind. And yet still, when storms like this happen, we really have nothing to defend ourselves. People just flee. They just get out of their houses and they, most of them, some stay and weather the storm, literally. But for most people, your option is to just get out, to run away from the storm. What happens when you can't run away from all of these curses anymore? That's coming. I mean, these are some pretty sobering and serious prophecies. Perhaps we'll get into them more in the weeks and months ahead. But as I say, we hear a fair bit about them on the annual festival that is the Feast of Trumpets. When, like it says in Revelation 11, maybe we can just receive that or go through that here real quickly. Revelation chapter 11 about the return of Christ. It's not in my notes, so bear with me. Verse 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" It says down in verse 18, "And the nations were angry." The nations were angry that your wrath, it says there, they were angry and your wrath is come. God's wrath. Read in Romans 1, much the same. God just gave them over to a reprobate mind. He said, "I'm just okay, let it play out. See how this works out for you." But be assured, God is angry at what's happening in the United States, in Western nations. This is a world in trouble, as 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 says. And God has a strong position on this, on everything that we're seeing. He's trying to get our attention. And here these arrogant educators, they think they're educators. Here they are, they think they know more than God. You would think, headline news in the Daily Oklahoman, as I said yesterday, all the drought, the lack of water here in this state, farmers selling off their cattle because they can't feed them, and then the curses that have set in on California. California used to be the golden state. Everybody wanted to go to California. Now people are looking for ways to get out, to leave the state. All of this turmoil, you would think people would begin to wake up and say, hang on a second, what does God have to say about any of this? What is God's position? This is a world in trouble, as I say. We're facing grave dangers. Look at the explosion in the Baltic Sea, the Nord Stream pipelines. These are the kinds of incidents that set off war. I mean, these are warlike acts. Supposing it is an attack, and most leaders in Europe and abroad are saying, yeah, it was sabotaged. Somebody went after these pipelines. We're still trying to figure out who did it. This is from the AP. It says Denmark believes deliberate actions caused big leaks in two natural gas pipelines running under the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany. And seismologists said powerful explosions preceded the leaks. Powerful explosions undersea. European leaders and experts pointed to possible sabotage amid the energy standoff with Russia, provoked by the Ukraine war. It says further on, it's the authorities' clear assessment that these are deliberate actions, not accidents. That's according to the Danish prime minister. Puk Nielsen said of possible sabotage that, quote, technically speaking, this is not difficult. It just requires a boat. It requires some divers that know how to handle explosive devices. Zero Hedge runs down the summary of all that we know. German officials saying it was a deliberate act, an attack on these pipelines. The CIA evidently, supposedly, again, what can we believe? It's hard to say. But evidently the CIA warned Germany recently of an impending attack. And then you have Joe Biden for his part. These clips were making the rounds yesterday. Tucker had an opening monologue basically suggesting that the United States was behind it. And of course, when you have the clips to back it up, I mean, it's a fairly compelling argument. Listen to Joe Biden from February before the Ukraine war broke out. This is clip three.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
I promise you, we'll be able to take out Nord Stream 1 and 2. That's the fake president from February. Over at the State Department, listen to what Victoria Nuland said around the same time. This is clip 4.
If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. If Russia invades, and of course that war, Russia did invade. The war has been going on now for months. And looking at the White House reaction today, listen to the way that the French lady responded to questions about the explosions there in the Baltic Sea, clip 7.
As you all know, these pipelines weren't pumping gas into Europe at this time. NS2 was never operational, as you guys know. NS1 has not been operational for weeks because Putin has weaponized energy. And we have said this many times before. This just drives home the importance of our efforts to work together to get alternative gas supplies to Europe and to support efforts to reduce gas consumption and accelerate true energy independence by moving to clean energy economy.
Never let a crisis go to waste. Here we have an opera. It's almost like the statement was ready to go. I mean, when you talk about motive, who would have the motivation to pull off something like this? Well, the United States certainly seems like it would have some motive at play here. We're coming up, what is it, 6-7 weeks now to midterms? They need a crisis to avoid a red wave. You wouldn't put it past these people. For years, it's been Russia, Russia, Russia. Listen to John Brennan's take on CNN. This is clip 6.
Do you think Russia's behind the sabotage of the pipelines?
Well, I think all the signs point to some type of sabotage. These pipelines are only in about 200 feet or so of water, and Russia does have an undersea capability that would easily lay explosive devices by those pipelines. And I do think it's a signal to Europe that Russia can reach beyond Ukraine's borders. Clearly an act of sabotage of some sort, and Russia is certainly the most likely suspect.
Why blow up their own pipelines if they can obviously just cut off the gas flowing from them?
I think this might be, a sign that Russia is intent on doing whatever it believes it needs to do in order to weaken a European resolve. But I think this may be just the first salvo of some additional things that might be coming toward Europe.
So John Brennan thinks Russia did it, which is probably the best indication we have thus far that Russia did not do it. But we'll see. We'll see how that this plays out. But again, more seriously, it is an act that can trigger violence, war, fighting, division, strife. It's an act of war. This is the New York Times. It says explosions under the Baltic Sea and the rupture of major natural gas pipelines from Russia to Germany appear to be a deliberate attack, officials across Europe said on Tuesday, deepening uncertainty about European energy security amid soaring prices and fears of running short of fuel over the winter. We've talked about the dark winter that's setting in. Fuel prices are already up, and it hasn't even gotten that cold yet. It says here, the apparent attack had no immediate effect on European energy supplies. Nord Stream 2 has never gone into service, and Nord Stream 1 has been shut down since August, it says, but it raises the stakes and European jitters in a simmering energy war between Russia and the West, prompted by the invasion of Ukraine. It says repairs could take up to several months. It says no matter who is to blame, the leaks hammered home the message that Europe and its energy infrastructure are vulnerable. Even if Europe succeeds in its mission of weaning itself from Russian energy, it just shows how vulnerable, how fragile the infrastructure really and truly is. I mean, look at the hurricane. Look at the images that you're seeing of just empty shelves in Florida, in central Florida. All it takes is one storm. And then the mad rush to the grocery store and the shelves empty just like that. I mean, this is in the case of the United States, we're a nation of 330 million people. On the planet, what, it's 7 or 8 billion? Look at what one crisis can trigger. That's all that we're talking about here. Now, there's a few remaining things left for God's work to complete before the great tribulation is upon us that leads right into the return of Christ, as I've been saying. But we need to be thinking about just how sudden the collapse can happen. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about it coming upon our nations suddenly. And he said it would be triggered. The formation of the Holy Roman Empire, as they covered yesterday. The commencement of the great tribulation. I covered that yesterday as well. It can all come crashing down upon us in mere moments, which is why the Bible says, watch and pray always and arm yourself, as it says in 1 Peter 4, with the same faith, the mind of Jesus Christ, so that we can see, so that we can know what's happening. God will inform us. God will He'll give us understanding because of the sure word of Bible prophecy. If you haven't subscribed to our monthly magazine, Tomorrow's News Today, as I covered yesterday, the toll-free number, it's 1-866-930-3024. How fragile is the undergrid that's propping everything up in this world today? I mean, we already see the many hotspots. I think Congress approved for more billions to go over to Ukraine. How could the United States government spend tens of billions of dollars? I think it's up to like 70 billion now. We've given more money to Ukraine than Russia puts toward its entire military over the course of the year. And now if you have pipelines blowing up, pipelines between Russia and Germany, I mean, this can very quickly move from a proxy war to a hot war between major nations. It says here, no matter who is to blame, the leaks hammered home the message that Europe and its energy infrastructure are vulnerable. Further on, it says, this is the New York Times, military and security experts have warned for years of the danger posed by so-called hybrid warfare, meaning the ability to undermine democratic functions, disrupt normal life, and sow chaos and uncertainty. It says the Nord Stream leaks made evident how exposed vital systems can be to outside attacks, says this researcher. It shows just how vulnerable we are to outside attacks. It's not like all the attacks in warfare happen out on the battlefield with tanks and planes and guns going off. There are attacks on the economic system, on the infrastructure, the energy infrastructure. As Tucker was saying last night, there's all kinds of ways that Russia or maybe Europe, Germany could retaliate if in fact it did come from the United States. But if it came from Germany, what if it was Germany? What if it was Russia? Maybe it was Russia. Maybe Russia's going to use this as an excuse. They're in a pretty desperate position in Ukraine. Maybe they're using this as an excuse. But what a world. Does this world need the government of God? Look at the abuses of government, the abuses of power that we see now almost every day in the United States. They're just routine. Last Friday, the FBI, another pre-dawn raid. Who did they get at this time? Well, it was this Catholic anti-abortion activist, father of seven. He's just in his home, sleeping peacefully before sunrise. And then the FBI shows up. They surround the house. They're in position. They pound on the door. Yes, we're quite accustomed to seeing this now. This fella, Mark Houck is his name. They sent 30 agents to his house, surrounded the home, as I say, pre-dawn raid. Houck is a protester. He protests outside abortion clinics to offer counseling to people entering into the clinics. Now, there's a law that says you can't prevent someone from going into the clinic. And this is evidently, this is what the FBI is going to try to get him on now. So he never did it. There was a scuffle between him and one of these representatives at an abortion clinic. This individual that made a threat, I guess, against his son, who was 12. And so Houck pushed him back. The guy filed suit. The judge thought it was just so ridiculous, he throws it out. But we learn along the way that the FBI is investigating this. Because we can't have parents protesting outside abortion clinics. That's kind of like January 6th. I mean, that's the vibes that the FBI gets these days. If it's anything closely connected to January 6th or to overturning Roe v. Wade, we got to crack down. We're the government, after all. This is your FBI. Life News wrote that the incident was so minor, the scuffle that is, that charges were never pressed and a court ultimately dismissed a complaint the abortion activist filed. So after they dismissed the complaint, as I say, then we learn that the DOJ is going after this guy anyway. You know, Houck contacted the DOJ and says, look, if you're going to press charges or whatever, just let me know. I'll show up at the DOJ or at the FBI. But they said, no, we don't want any of that. And then Friday happens, 30 agents to his house. 30 FBI agents to a protester's house. Like I say, we've been seeing this for the past 2 years. This is the way Joe Obama operates. Just attack the political opponent. The process is the punishment. They've got no leg to stand on, the DOJ. They've got no case to speak of. But hey, if you send the FBI agents, I mean, that's punishment enough. Let's humiliate this guy. Let's drag him out of his house. If his wife comes running, as she did, to try to give him a sweatshirt, you know, to help him put on some clothes. No, don't even allow for that. Just get him into the car. Handcuff him. And that's what they did. This is from the Los Angeles Times, another story out of California. It says, the privacy invasion was vast when FBI agents drilled and pried their way into 1,400 safe deposit boxes at the U.S. private vault store in Beverly Hills. So what is going on here? Here's the FBI going through private boxes at banks. Security boxes. It says here, 18 months later, newly unsealed court documents show that the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles got their warrant for that raid by misleading the judge who approved it. Well, surprise, surprise, the FBI went to a judge to get the warrant to bust open these safety deposit boxes, and they lied to the judge. They lied to get the warrant. It makes you wonder about the judge that the FBI had to have gone to carry out the raid on Houck's home. The LA Times says here, they omitted from their warrant request a central part of the FBI's plan, permanent confiscation of everything inside every box containing at least $5,000 in cash or goods, a senior FBI agent recently testified. This is like, it's like we're reading about a drug cartel in Mexico. But this is the FBI. This is how the FBI operates. In the warrant, basically, they got approval from a judge to just help themselves to everything in 1,400 safety deposit boxes. 1,400. Yeah, that's right. What a score for the FBI. As if the FBI doesn't have enough funding. People in Congress are itching to give them raises every other day. Well, the rank and file, they're all righteous. Just a few, maybe a few corrupt agents here and there. But for the most part, it's perfect, just like the election. The Los Angeles Times says here, the court filings also show that federal agents defied restrictions that U.S. Magistrate Judge Steve Kim set in the warrant by searching through box holders' belongings for evidence of crimes. They're searching for crimes, just like Mar-a-Lago. This is the way they operate. This is an agency that just needs to be blown up top to bottom. Not literally. Don't take my words literally. It needs to be disbanded. It needs to be, someone needs to come in there and just clean house and start over. Look at what has happened to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So when the CIA, it comes out, the CIA warned Germany, you know, what can you believe these days? Because these agencies believe that, hey, if you need to lie to carry out your agenda, go for it. That's fine. If you need to lie to try to entrap them in a lie, then put them in prison. Do it. Do whatever you can. That's the way they worked with Jan 6, with the Whitmer kidnapping case. And now you see this. Another story Sam covered with you on Monday. The Matt Gaetz sex trafficking hoax. That was a couple years ago. This congressman who is a big-time Trump supporter, he's a bit of a firebrand. He really does speak truth boldly. And so, of course, he becomes a big target then. And the DOJ went after him a couple years ago for sex trafficking. Sex trafficking. And we come to find out now that they're not going to press charges. You see, it's the investigation that was leaked out, and that was the punishment. They knew they didn't have a case. But investigate him, let it leak out, and then the whole world knows that Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz, is being investigated for sex trafficking. This is Brett Stevens. Used to be a conservative, rabid anti-Trumper, but even he's a bit riled up from this, a little bit late to the party, I think. It says the investigation of Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, which looks like it's about to fall apart, is an FBI disgrace for the ages. It should force heads to roll, and Congress needs to appoint a church-style committee or commission to reform the Bureau. This is a bureau that needs to be reformed, top to bottom. Ought to be disbanded, as I say. After the Ted Stevens fiasco, James Comey's disastrous interventions with Hillary Clinton's emails, and the bureau misrepresenting facts to the FISA court as part of its investigation of Trump and Russia, something dramatic has to change to save the FBI from continuing to lose public trust. Brett Stevens is still fairly influential. I think he still writes for the New York Times. It says, I'm upset by a longstanding pattern of incompetence tinged by what feels like political bias. I don't like Gaetz's politics or persona any more than you do. But what we seem to have here is a high-profile politician being convicted in the court of public opinion of some of the most heinous behavior imaginable, trafficking a minor for sex, until the Justice Department realizes 2 years late that its case has fallen apart. We have a presumption of innocence in this country because we tend to err the most when we assume the worst about the people we like the least. He ought to take that and apply some of it, some of that thinking, some of that logic to the attacks on Donald Trump. The assumption going in is that he's guilty. So raid Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, go through Melania's closet. Sift through those safety deposit boxes. Look for the crimes. You're surely going to find one. Take all 1,400 boxes if you have to. Confiscate everything. And then try to find a crime so you can send them off to prison. So you can send the activist, the protester, to prison because you don't agree with his politics. This is some really wicked and evil stuff that's playing out here. Day in, day out, time and again. And all the angry rhetoric, the story last week, I didn't even have the time to get to it. This Republican, this kid, this youth, 18 years old, from North Dakota. He has an argument, some kind of an argument with, a 41-year-old Democrat who was so angry, and as he said later, he felt so threatened by this kid, he got in his car and he ran him over and murdered him. A Democrat murdering a MAGA Republican. A Democrat who saw a MAGA Republican as a threat. Why, oh why, would he ever think that he was a threat? Well, go back to the blood red speech that Biden gave in Philadelphia. Go back to just about any speech these days from Democrats. Grabian put together a montage. I should have brought it. They're calling for violence. Why? Because the MAGA Republicans are violent, they say. They keep saying. How come you haven't heard anything about this Democrat who gets into his car and murders an 18-year-old kid who was a Trump supporter? If the politics were reversed, it would be wall-to-wall coverage. The coverage would be continuing to today and beyond. As it is, they just cover it up. It's from Fox News. North Dakota man free. He got out of jail on bail. Yeah, North Dakota man free after admitting he mowed down Republican teen over politics. So he gets out of jail, no problem. But put the Pennsylvanian activist, put him in jail. I mean, he was outside an abortion clinic. You can't do that. Says the North Dakota man who allegedly admitted to fatally striking a teenage pedestrian with his car because the pair had a political argument was released from jail on Tuesday. This is a story from last week. After posting $50,000 bond, records show, Shannon Brandt, that's his name. This is from the Grand Forks Herald. Court papers show Brandt called 911 after 2:30 a.m. Sunday and told the 911 dispatcher that he just hit Ellingson, claiming the teen was part of a Republican extremist group and was calling people to come get Brandt after a political argument. And the sheriff there locally said that that was a lie. He was a part of no group, no extremist group. But that's what this 41-year-old Democrat said when he called 911. He was being threatened by him, so he had to get in his car and kill him. And he's out on bail. He's quoted as saying, I need to get out on bail because, well, I've got a family. I've got to look after my family. And so, sure, some judge is going to let him out right away, for sure. It kind of reminds you of that story from the lead into Thanksgiving, remember? The murderer in Wisconsin who just mowed down all of those people in the parade, killed 6, 7, 8 people. And Joe Scarborough, they can't even discuss it because he's a radical leftist communist Democrat. That's why. He's a criminal that kept getting out of jail, committing more crimes. These kinds of radicals are being stirred. It's not even by the blood red speech. It's by the devil. The devil's working through these leaders, whipping people into this angry rage. And look at what they're carrying out, these atrocities. Just appalling. 18-year-old kid, his life snuffed out because of a political extremist. And of course, over on CNN or MSNBC, you're going to hear nothing, absolutely nothing about it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
We closed out the show yesterday with a verse in Matthew 24, speaking of the return of Jesus Christ. That chapter, remember, the disciples had asked Jesus, what are going to be the events? What will transpire? What will happen in the lead up to the return, your return to this earth? And so Christ told them, talked about weather upsets, natural disasters, as we like to call them, actually curses from God, and of course, quite a few of other things as well. Great tribulation, as verses 21 and 22 bring out. But just to, again, return to the verses we left off with yesterday, it says in Matthew 24, 27, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." This is describing the return of Christ. Revelation 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Everyone's going to see this blessed event. Now, the nations are going to be angry, as I read in the first segment. But Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth as hundreds and hundreds of Bible prophecies clearly, vividly explain. Why don't more people believe it? Verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." So if you just look at the sequence of events going back to verse 21, the great tribulation, and then following that, the heavenly signs, and then the day of the Lord, which, as I said in the first segment, is going to make one hurricane seem like just a tiny little drop in a bucket. The day of God's wrath. God is wrathful. He's angry at the direction our nations have gone in. He is going to intervene in the affairs of this earth. He will supernaturally intervene. And all the commentators, all the politicians, the ruling class, the ordinary people, everyone is going to see it. Verse 30, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." See, he's coming to this earth, and the nations of this earth are going to mourn because the nations don't want the rule of Christ. They don't want Jesus Christ as their king, King of kings and Lord of lords. They want their rulers, or they want to rule themselves. Verse 31, it says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." God is just going to gather in the elect, God's people, scattered over all the earth today. Of course, during the tribulation, they'll be protected together from all of this tribulation that we bring upon ourselves. Notice Matthew 6, verse 7, to begin with. Here, Christ is giving us some instruction about how we ought to pray. He gives us a general outline. Pray about these sorts of subjects. Pray about this every day. If you're wondering how to pray, well, here's some good instruction. First, you can get our booklet going by that very name, How to Pray, and then look at the instructions, the general outline that Jesus left for us in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And then when you get down on your knees, you'll have a lot that you can talk to God about. If you're wondering, well, how can I talk to God for 30 or 40 or 50 minutes in one session? Well, how do you talk to a good friend of yours that maybe you haven't seen for quite a while? God wants that dialogue to be robust, regular, praying often, never ceasing in our prayer life. Matthew 6 and verse 7, it says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God knows what we need, but he still wants for us to cry out to him because we're his children. 1 John 4:18 says that we love him because he first loved us. He's reached out to us. He's demonstrated his love for us. He sacrificed for us. He gave his only begotten Son so that we could have a relationship with the Father. John 3:16. And so he wants an intimate relationship. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." This is the part of the prayer where we're asking God. We're asking for God's literal government to be set up on this earth, headquartered in Jerusalem. We pray, "Thy kingdom come." We pray and ask that God would hasten the return of his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. I mentioned that section in Acts 3 yesterday on the show. Let me just read it to you today. This is Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 20 or verse 19. It says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Eternal." The times of refreshing, another meaning there is in the time of restoration, the time of refreshing. It says here, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." The heaven must receive Christ. He ascended to heaven after his crucifixion, as we know. And the heaven, you can go and look at the parable of the pounds in Luke 19 as well. He's the wealthy man that goes away into a far country for a time, but then he comes back. And he asks his disciples, you know, "How much did you do with what I gave you? With those talents that I left for you? With those pounds that I gave you? Did you multiply them? Did you grow," in other words? The heaven must receive Jesus Christ until the times of restitution which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. I mean, it's all through the Bible. All the holy prophets have spoken to this. God's coming kingdom. Verse 10 again says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now God fulfills his will through his church primarily. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's happening in this church? I mean, there's a direct connection between the work of God's church and the coming kingdom of God, because the church of God is that kingdom in embryo. Now, the kingdom's not yet set up. It's not an ethereal nothing that's just inside your heart, as I was saying yesterday. But the church is the kingdom in embryo. It's about to be born. Isaiah 66, read that chapter sometime. God's about to spring it on the entire earth. Everyone's going to see it when it starts, because Christ is coming back. He's coming from the clouds. And he's going to set foot on Jerusalem, or the Mount of Olives, in Jerusalem. Verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Pray for God to give us our food spiritually every day, to fill us up on his word. Notice it says, "Give us this day." I mean, that implies right there that you're doing it daily. Give us what we need today to do your work, to finish this work, to prepare the way for Christ's return, to trumpet the message of God over all the earth through programs like this, or on the website, The Key of David, all the books and booklets that we publish. You think about this one, by the way. Why natural disasters? It's got natural there in quotes, because it's not natural. A little puff from God, so to speak, and that storm would head in another direction. But God's allowing it. And we need to be humble enough to go before God and to pray for God's help, for his protection, for his mercy. But we've drifted so far from God that now we're just on our soapbox preaching. It's got to be climate change. That's part of our agenda. I mean, whoever was behind blowing up these pipes in the Baltic Sea, I mean, what a disaster for the environment. All of this gas just billowing into the air or filling up the ocean bed, this fuel. It wasn't supplying any fuel to Europe at the time of the explosion, but obviously the pipes were full of something, as the pictures, the video now show. And yet you hear nothing about it, except from the spokeslady who says, well, that just shows how we ought to get the electric cars, you see. It's all about the narrative. It's all about the agenda. People really don't even care about, even the ones that subscribe to that cultic doctrine coming from the environmentalist left. Something like this happens and they don't say anything. They don't really do anything. They don't really care. But they just want their program. They want more power, for sure. We've pointed this out before. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for the kingdom to come. Pray for God to give us the food that we need daily. Drop down to verse 34 in this same chapter. It says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So don't worry about or be anxious for the things of tomorrow. Of course, we plan ahead. We do need, you know, short-term, medium-term, and long-term planning. But we don't need to be worrying about what might happen tomorrow. Just concentrate on today. Make sure your focus is where it needs to be today. Back up to verse 22, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light." If your mind, you see, if your mind is focused right, then it's going to light up. God's truth is going to light up your entire body and mind and heart and soul, everything. It says here in verse 23, "But if your eye is evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Of course, this is where we are today. Isaiah 55 talks about us just groping in the darkness. We can't find our way. We don't have a light, a lamp, to light up our path. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on." It says, is not life more than meat? And the body more than raiment? Verse 26 continues, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather unto barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Look to God for food. The only reason we have this strong desire for physical food, God made us this way, but he did it so that he could show us how much we need spiritual food. First the physical, then the spiritual. This is what physical food points to. God wants us to have that hunger. Matthew 5, look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for God's way of life. Seek first," as it says here in this chapter, I'm getting ahead of myself, "seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Really, go after it. Verse 28 says, "And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." God looks after his creation. He wants to give you guidance and direction. He wants to direct your steps, as I've covered recently. He's the master potter. We're just the clay. We're the thing. We're the dirt, the humus, the humus. We're the dust of the ground. It says in verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is, cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" It says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." He knows. I mean, sometimes Mr. Armstrong has instances of this in the autobiography, where they even needed physical food because they were so poor and they didn't have much. And so they prayed for God to deliver, and he did. But above all, what God wants for us to seek after earnestly, to pray for daily, is spiritual food and sustenance, spiritual strength and power. Verse 33 says, "But seek you first." There's other things to seek, second, third, fourth, and fifth. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 37, that talks about the desires of your heart. But really, if you read the entire psalm, what God wants for us to desire most are the things that he desires, the things that are important to him, the things that matter most to him. Try to align your thinking with God's thinking on any given subject. Of course, the way to do this is in the prayer closet and by opening that book, the Holy Bible, blowing the dust off the Bible, and actually looking into the Bible to see what God has to say. I've got 30 seconds. I can give you two short emails that we've gotten from viewers. It says here, "You guys have an amazingly strong grasp on truths expounded in Bible prophecies." Godspeed. Another one says here, "I want you to know how much I appreciate your program. I'm hearing things that even Fox News isn't covering. Keep up the good work, and God bless you." Another one, quickly, "I was not aware of the housing crisis in Martha's Vineyard and that the southern border is secure." That's rich, it says. "I was going to send you another photo of the third precinct in Minneapolis that was torched, but I couldn't find it." This is from a viewer who lives around Minneapolis. If you'd like to email the show, the address is td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.